Go ahead and have a seat. We are glad that you're with us tonight. Appreciate you being willing to work with us and be flexible with us. We watched the weather the bulk of the day. We watched the reports like you did. We anticipated when it was coming, when it wasn't. And so we kind of got to a point this afternoon where we made the decision. We felt confident we could get the worship event in. What we were fearful of is that the heavens would open up just as we were finishing, and we were trying to get all the equipment back inside. And so we decided that we would go ahead and make the call early and let you know. We apologize for any inconvenience that's caused. We've got some folks in our overflow rooms. We appreciate that. We're just glad that you're here and you're with us. And so we're excited about that. Are you trying to get my attention in the overflow room? Oh, you just you can hear me okay back there? Okay, good. And so we are thrilled that you're with us. We are here tonight to celebrate. And all through the course of this month, we have invited you to become a part of the Christmas story. We shared with you that you are a living, breathing illustration of what Christmas is and what it means. And when you embrace who Jesus is and what he's done, your life becomes a part of that story. And so tonight, we invite you over the next couple of minutes as we worship and as we light candles to add just one more chapter, one more paragraph to this Christmas event. And we are awfully glad that you're here, honored that you would spend your time with us tonight. Let's bow our heads and hearts and let's pray for just a moment. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you did what you did so that we might have this reason to celebrate. Now, Lord, you did it because you loved us. And your gift to us is a gift that we can never repay. But yet in these moments when we sing, when we celebrate, when we remember, it draws us back to that heartbeat that you have that invites us to allow our hearts to beat in rhythm with yours. So God, I pray that tonight that we would celebrate you, your birth, your gift of love, your gift of light to the world. That's our prayer, our hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I want to invite you to turn to Luke chapter 2. We revisit the Christmas story, the story that you're familiar with. It's why you're here. And Luke's account is the one that we gravitate toward the most during this time of year. And it begins in verse 4 is what I'm going to pick up. It says, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for you and be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger.' And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go into Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' And so they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." It's a familiar story. That's why you're here. It is the story of the birth of a king. If you were to go there and think about it, and try to do what we often do this time of year and imagine what it was like on that first Christmas evening. It was a mother and a father and a baby in a barn, a stall. Not overly spectacular to be the most spectacular event in all of history. There probably would have been a fire burning pretty close to the edge of where that manger was. Probably not inside. Hay is flammable, but close. Now, we're going to light candles in a little bit, but there probably wasn't even a candle that evening, because candles back then in the first century were made out of animal fat. So it probably would have been, if anything, an oil lamp of some sort that was burning, probably casting some light, some shadows in that manger. But I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but what happened after the baby was born? I mean, imagine yourself, you're Mary and you're Joseph, and you're there, and for the last 9 months, Mary and Joseph both have been anticipating the arrival of this child. And you know this child is the Christ child. You know this child is supposed to be the Savior of the world, but you're not exactly sure what that means. The baby shows up. It's not too long. Shepherds show up, and they tell you this amazing story of what happened that night, that the angels came and made the announcement. So they've come, and so you've had visitors, and the shepherds go. We know that the wise men aren't coming because they're not going to show up for a couple more years. That's just kind of, we sell nativity scenes by putting the wise men in, but they don't show up for a couple years yet. So you have this first night that is now unfolding, and you're Mary and Joseph, and you're holding God in your arms. What do you do? It is the most spectacular event in all of human history. And yet it is set in the most unspectacular surroundings imaginable. Nobody knows. Most of the town has missed it. They're too busy paying taxes. What do you do? You see, I had some time this week to sit around and think a lot about the Christmas story. And I was reminded again as I thought through it and prayed over it and thought about even this evening. Jesus didn't come with a manual. He didn't arrive with a document that said how to raise the Son of God. Mary did, and Joseph did, what they were supposed to do. They took care of the baby. They just did what they were supposed to do. They did their job. They took care of him. They protected him. They fed him. They changed him. They were going to make sure he had what he needed, and they had to step back into this thing called life. See, one of the things that I often hear this time of year from folks, especially we get to this particular night and then tomorrow as it unfolds and everyone gets excited about that Christmas Day event, is that when it's over, you hear that phrase, gosh, it's such a letdown when it's over. I mean, all the buildup to get ready and all the things that we do to get ready for Christmas, and then all of a sudden the big day is here and it's done, and you're like, oh, what do we do now? And you look at the lights, and the lights don't look the same. They don't seem to sparkle as much as they did the day before. You look at the piles of trash in your house if you had a lot of gifts, and you think, oh, what am I going to do with this? Or you look at all the stuff that you bought, and you think, where am I going to put this? And there's a bit of a letdown. And the question always comes along, well, now that Christmas is here, what do you do? And the answer really is simple. It's a thought I would want to leave you with tonight. You do the same thing that Mary and Joseph did. You take care of the gift that you've been given. It is that simple, and it is that complicated. If you're going to be a living, breathing Christmas story, you have a responsibility to take care of the gift that you've been given, and you've been given a Savior. You've been given a Savior that will change your life from the inside out, and so he calls you in the most unspectacular way to do the most spectacular thing. Live the God-breathed life that he created you to live. You say, well, what does that look like? Well, you know what it's going to look like on Monday? You're going to go back to work. You're going to do the things that you probably do on any given day. You're going to fulfill the responsibilities that you have. You're going to be kind to people. You're going to bless others. But what you're going to do is you're going to live your life differently because you're going to take care of the gift that you've been given. That's what Mary and Joseph did. I don't know if you imagine Jesus as a child, but, you know, we don't have a whole lot of stuff that's written about that for us to look at. We know that he learned to work in a carpenter shop with his earthly dad. We know that Mary guided and raised him, and there were other brothers and sisters that came along, and we don't know a whole lot about the normalcy of his life. Jesus doesn't step back out into the pages of Scripture until he's 30 years old, with the exception of just a quick visit as a teenager to the temple. And so there's a whole lot that we don't know. But what we can be sure of is that Mary did her job and Joseph did his job, and they got Jesus to where he needed to be at age 30 so he could step on to what was a stage that the whole world would see and fulfill his purpose. Would it have happened without Mary and Joseph? You can speculate, but God knew what he was doing. Why? Because he knew they would do what they were supposed to do. If you were wondering what changes about your life when you start living and breathing Christmas, it's really simple. You just have to learn to be responsible with the gift you've been given. And you have to make a decision, a conscious choice of the mind and the heart every day to live your life in such a way that you will do something very important, something spectacular with the gift that you've been given, and that you will share his love and that you will touch and change the world around you with the love of Christ. If you do that, you will keep writing and adding new pages to this Christmas story of your life, and you will do it 365 days a year. And as you do that, you also keep this Christmas thing alive, the magic of this season, the sparkle of this season, the joy that somehow seems to shine just a little bit brighter during this time of year. It stays a little bit closer to the surface, because you make a decision not to lose Jesus and put him away with all the decorations when they go back up and pack him away for a year. Instead, you're responsible with the gift you've been given, and you allow that gift to change who you are from the inside out. Would you bow your heads and hearts for me for just a moment? Heavenly Father, you came on a night that much of the world missed. And you arrived in what was a spectacular way, but in a very unspectacular setting. And with the exception of the folks that were there, everyone else missed it. They were just too busy. And Lord, we are reminded that Christmas comes with a lot of anticipation. And Christmas arrives with a lot of activity. And there are so many things that happen during this time of year that when we finally get to the day, the moment when we celebrate your birth, like this, sometimes we get caught off guard because we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do next. And so, Lord, my prayer for each person in this room this year is that we would be responsible and good caretakers of the gift that we've been given. And if we could do that, then we will discover that the joy and the magic and the hope of Christmas is alive in our lives, not just on this day, but on every day. Remind us of that as we think back again and allow our hearts and minds to go back to that very first Christmas morning, that holy night when you were born. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the great traditions that we have, and we don't have a lot of traditions here, is candlelight on Christmas Eve. It is probably one of my favorite times to worship with you guys. And I got to tell you, over the past few years, it's become even more spectacular because we've discovered that during this time, anything can happen with open flames and candles in this building. And some of you are long-timers, and you've been to a lot of these, and so you know exactly what I'm talking about. And this year, we were so excited because we knew we had set up the miracle on 434th Street. We knew we'd be sitting in this room full of basically Christmas lights that we had built, and we thought, how amazing is it going to be out there and light candles, and it's going to be spectacular. And then, of course, the weather reports came in, and you know, we have little faith. We're afraid to go out there and trash you guys and us. And then we knew it would create some complications, so we did everything we could to move back in the building to get to this moment where we could be reminded again that Christmas once again comes, and in Christmas we find a gift that is given to us where we can once again discover hope and meaning and light. Jesus is born in a place called Bethlehem, which means the house of bread. That's how it translates. That's what the word means. And Jesus described himself as the bread of life. And that bread of life brings to you a light that changes everything. And so the way we're going to do this is this. Hopefully you got a candle on the way in. In just a moment, Richard and Leanne are going to light a candle from this candle up here, and then they're going to go to either side of the room and start lighting your candles. And as your candle's lit, feel free to lean over to the person next to you and light their candle and just light that candle. We're going to sing as we do. And so we invite you to sing with us, and then we're going to give time to make sure that we get anybody that's got a candle in the overflow rooms lit, and so we'll sing until we can make sure that all the candles are lit, and then we'll pray, and then we'll be done. Now, here's my other piece of advice for you, and I do this every year, and sometimes some people listen and some don't. After your candle is lit, pull it down into the cup, and it will glow, it will look beautiful, and it also means that you won't walk out of here with a second-degree burn. And so all of that is very important to us. The beauty is important. Safety matters as well. Jesus didn't come so you could be burnt. He came so that you might have life and have it abundant. And so I'm going to pray, and then we are going to begin singing. Richard and Leanne are going to come to the front, and we will begin lighting candles. We're going to dim the lights overhead and set a little mood here as I pray. And then we will wrap up our time together. Let's pray. God, we are thankful because in you we do discover the light of the world. And that light gives us life. It allows us to be more together than we could be apart. And we discover that we have a life that's worth living because you're in the mix. And so God, even now, as we light candles, we do so symbolically, remembering the gift that you gave us. We remember that night that you were born. We remember the reason that we celebrate this season. We remember all the things that we have to believe in. And of all the things that we have to believe in, we find the answer to all our needs, arriving as a baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, the Savior of the world, Emmanuel, God with us. And so, Lord, as we light these candles, take us back there once again. And as we sing, help us to remember the gift of love you gave us on that very first Christmas morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.